That means that the timing must be before God pours down His wrath on this earth. I feel sorry to say it, but there is a judgment day one day. And this earth will see some signs of the judgment of God. And there is that wrath of God that will be poured down on the earth. During the 7-year period, it is a sort of preliminary judgment that takes place. We know He did it to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. Here He has a judgment. And it must be before His wrath is poured down. Then He says in Revelations, the book of Revelations, why I take the pre-tribulation view is because when the tribulation begins in chapter 6 of Revelations, verse 17, it says, for the great day of His wrath has come. And all this is during the pre-tribulation years. All this is at the beginning of the tribulation. If we study the book of Revelation, all this is the signs, the first horse, the second horse, the third horse, the fourth horse. The first white horse in chapter 6 represents the Antichrist going out to conquer. And in his first 3 years, he's conquering. And so we realize that the beginning of these horses, this period, is a period that God assigned as the wrath of the Lamb, which is why I tend to take the pre-tribulation view and leave the 7 years alone by themselves as Jewish years. And there are many other reasons that we'll see the next week. But we see some of the principles by which we gauge and define the theological time. We cannot define the physical time in the day, the hour, etc. But we can define the theological time when it will take place. Like chapter 5 gives us a clue. It must be before the wrath of God is poured down. And it's just like God removed Lot out before He poured on Sodom the wrath. So the same way, it must be before the wrath is poured down. Then the second point in chapter 5 that gives us the guidance here in verse 19, 20 and 21. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, that's important. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The second point that he exhorts us here is that as the second coming of Jesus draws near, there will be a lot of people prophesying and a lot of people saying all those things about Jesus coming. We need to test every prophecy. Testing every prophecy doesn't imply that we doubt or despise a prophecy. He says here, do not despise prophecy, but yet he encourages to test. To test it is to test it with the Word of God. To test it with the love of Jesus. To test it with the glory of Jesus, whether it glorifies Jesus. And testing it with love means to test the spirit of the prophecy, whether it's uttered out of the spirit of love or the spirit of jealousy or envy or some other attitude. So it's important to test a prophecy during these times. And the body of Christ in nearly 2,000 years of church history has seen more false prophecies about the second coming than true ones. And as we get closer and closer to 2000 AD, you can be sure you're going to see more. Somebody may write a book and say he's going to come at 2000 AD. Right? Which, I would be glad if he did, but I personally don't think he will. Right? And I believe we have much more time than that. And you say, why is that so? Because if he's going to come at that time, and the world is going to end, we got only, some people believe it's going to 6,000 years. They forget that our calendar is messed up. It's not exactly AD 0, you know, that starts the Jesus dispensation, all that. It's 4 BC. It's off a bit. And if 2,000 years of church, of history is going to end exactly in 2000 AD, then you got a minus 7 years of the tribulation, and you come down to 1990.
2 and 3, which, you know, is a bit very close. And that's why a lot of false prophecy end up wrong, because they are wrongly predicted. And I can understand why people go into false prophecy, and I can understand why people think that it should happen about 92 or 93, because they got to minus the 7 years. But it's wrong. That fellow who predicted that Jesus would come in Korea was wrong, because he think that Jesus will come at 2000 AD, exactly midnight. And then some people say that he will come at midnight, because he say a thief in the night. Right? That's not right. Okay, midnight, fair enough. Greenwich time, American time, Singapore time, you know. Which midnight? Right? So, that is not a verse that you could build on to tell the hour and the date. And we look into that. But the principles given to us to tell when Jesus comes need to be, we say, number one, we need to consider that we are not appointed to wrath. Number two, we need to consider the necessity to test. And the purpose of the test is to see what is good and what is bad, and hold fast to that which is good. So these are the two main things. And then he prays in verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the second coming, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're going to consider it more in the next lesson in 2 Thessalonians the next week. So let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, as we look at the second coming of Jesus, there are so many areas, Lord, that we could build our lives upon to prepare, to wait on him, and to understand what our true rewards are in heaven. Father, establish us, Lord, in love, establish us in the word and in faith. Teach us, O Lord, how to reach out into the realm of your spirit so that we could be transformed to be like Jesus. That's what we want to be, Lord, to be like Jesus all our lives. Father God, cause us all to be ready for his coming. Thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise together and sing the song, "To Be Like Jesus." To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all true ministry. You minister to you on the right side here on the auditorium. God bless you. Let's give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless you.